Oh, hey, how you doing? It's Crispin Valentin, host of the Global Land Fact podcast, founder, CEO, any title that you can think of, I'm the one. Executive producer Carlos behind the camera. And today we have an amazing episode. You want to stay locked in because this is going to be something different for a particular community that's out there that really enjoys vehicles. And we're going to tell you all about that on this episode. So stay locked in. Make sure you subscribe. We have the problem of a lot of channels have that a lot of our viewers are not subscribers. So go subscribe to the channel right now. It really does help us. All the options that are out there, you're here. We appreciate it. Thank you very much. So stay tuned. You're going to enjoy it. Okay, back to my programming. Welcome, welcome you and all to another episode of the Global Latin Factor podcast, where we talk about Latino everything, a lot of Latin activities going on this podcast. Thank you very much for joining. If you have not taken the time to subscribe, and if you're already here, go and subscribe right now. It means a lot to us. It helps us a lot to us. Most of the people that watch our video are not subscribed, and I think it's kind of sad because, you know, y'all do take the time to click on the link. So check it out. Go subscribe. Give us a like. Thank you very much. Again, subscribe, give us a follow on the audio side. We have the audio side as well, Apple Podcast. Shout out to y'all. Thank you very much. Today, we have an amazing episode because we have a YouTuber, content creator, philanthropist for the community, Mark of Mark Steady TV and La Casa. How you doing today?
How you doing, man? How you doing?
Pretty good.
Good.
He's a little nervous because he's usually on the other side creating amazing videos. But today, I appreciate the time for being here.
Appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. So we're going to go ahead and start first with a segment that I like to call Preguntas al Chile. As I mentioned earlier, go subscribe right now. I'm not telling you what to do. However, you're already here. Go subscribe so you can check out the beautiful graphics Carlos put together. Estás listo. Are you ready?
I think so. Let's do this.
Tacos o tortas?
That's hard, man. Let's do tacos.
Corn tortilla, flour tortillas.
Yeah, I love my flour, but I'm always eating corn tortillas, so I'm just going
with
corn.
Tacos. Yeah. Corn tortillas, flour tortillas, gorditas o sopes?
Sopes.
Sopes, yeah, good choice. Mexican coca, jarrito.
Jarrito.
Jarrito, what flavor?
Tamarindo.
Tamarindo, yeah, that's a really good one, too. Agua de horchata, jamaica, tamarindo.
That's a hard one. If they're like fresh, natural for me.
Yeah.
Jamaica.
Jamaica. Yeah, I like jamaica too. Salsa verde, salsa roja.
Verde.
Verde. Yo, team salsa verde.
Has really spicier. So I go with the verde.
I like verde. Menudo or pozole.
It's also a hard one, but let's go with pozole.
Yeah. Churro or flan?
Churro.
Okay. Valentina, Tapatio, Cholula, or Tabasco hot sauce?
Tapatio.
Tapatio? Ooh, most of the people choose Valentina.
Yeah, for sure.
Conchitas, the pastries, do you like the brown ones, the white ones, or the pink ones?
White ones.
White ones? Yeah. Awesome. And a conspiracy theory that you can almost guarantee when you heard it, like that has to be true. What would that be?
Oh, man, that's a good one. Mark Zuckerberg is, what do they call it? Lizard man.
And I was human. I am human still. But I was just referring to myself in the past.
Conspiracy theory, right?
No, that dude is a lizard. That dude was super, super white. Hey, but you better be careful now though.
He's those videos where his eyes just go.
That, I seen that too. Yeah, I can see that too. However, that dude is super like light skinned, but you got to be careful now because he knows jiu-jitsu now. You know that, right?
Oh, dang.
He just had his first tournament and actually had a medal or something. So, yeah.
A little choke you out.
Yeah, we're just playing, Zuckerberg. Shout out to Facebook. Hey,
Facebook.
Open the gates for our viewers. Come on, don't be playing. I don't need to give you no $5.
Right.
All right, here we go. Whenever you hear the term Latino, Latina, or Latinx, what first comes to mind?
Us,
who,
like, what I am, you know, who I am. cultura.
I like it.
You know?
Yeah, I like it definitely. And do you care if anybody calls you Latino, Latino, a Mexican, even for Mexican? I don't even know if you're Mexican or not, but do you care? Chicano.
You can say I'm Chicano.
Mm-hmm.
Born here, parents are from Mexico.
Awesome.
But you know, if someone calls me Mexican, you know, sometimes I say, yeah. I mean, I work with Pura Raza, so
yeah,
I'm included in there.
Definitely.
Mexican, definitely.
That's cool. That's cool. Okay, so let's start out the interview. So I did have questions about this. So you were born here, so you're first generation, but your parents were from Mexico. Do you know what area or do you know their journey?
I'm sorry, right? My bad.
You get
my dad is from Jalisco.
Saludos a Jalisco.
Yeah, that's why. Tapatio sauce. Tapatio sauce.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
My dad's from, he's like 40 minutes from Guadalajara.
Nice.
A pueblo called Zapotlanejo. My mom is from Rio Bravo, Tamaulipas.
Tamaulipas.
Border town.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Did they ever share the story? Have you ever been curious to ask them how their journey was to get into the U.S. or brought them to
you
the
know
U.S.?
What? Someone mentioned that. There was my cousin. Shout out to Sandoval Landscaping. He lost his father not long ago. And, you know, we were kind of talking about father and son relationships.
Yeah.
And he was telling me, he's like, man, talk to your dad, you know.
Yeah.
Ask him questions, his life stories, how he got here, his journey. He's like, you'll begin to understand more of what they went through.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's crazy because, you know, yeah, when you're older, you don't, your parents are there. Thankfully, I have both my parents.
Yeah.
They're there, but you don't really conversate too much.
Mm-hmm.
Your days go on, you come home from work, you know, you might hit them up or
true,
you know what I'm saying?
But absolutely,
I always think about that a lot. And yeah, I'm sorry, I rambled on.
So have you ever asked them, your dad, did he ever share the story with you
when
you got here? And your mom?
You know what, I guess I could say no.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I know my dad, he funny enough, he had his papers, but he still came out here, you know, hacia la brava, you know, by Coyote, because he says that he wanted to do it as well, you know, with all his people that had to come out over here like that.
What?
Yeah, so I do know that part, but as you know, it's a good question because you're absolutely making me, you know, think into it, and definitely gonna ask him more about
I'm just so curious about, like, for my parents. I know my parents, the reason why they first began, and then condolences to your friend, to your cousin. But I know that some of us don't want to ask certain questions, but I'm just curious to anybody, and especially my parents, who don't understand. Like, you're right. He was right as far as understanding why they are the way they are. Or, you know, once you get older, you start feeling understanding. Then I don't know if you have any kids, but eventually you can learn some of those things or lessons that they did and then pass it on to your kids.
For sure.
You know? Yeah, yeah. So that's pretty cool. And what about your mom? Did she ever tell you anything about that?
I mean, yeah, she's, you know, they've both shared it. She's, you know, talked a lot about her youth, how, when she lived in Rio Bravo, they would come over to the valley and, you know, work, you know, with white folks, you know, and sometimes they would be treated good and sometimes they'd be mistreated.
Yeah.
So, you know, some of that, experiences that they had growing up as a, you know, young woman, you know, having to cross over here for work and stuff like that. You know?
Yeah.
And then I mentioned, I guess, coming more up north.
You said something interesting that I know for sure that happens often. So I know your dad wanted to do it a la brava, even though he had papers.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if maybe his relatives told him that he had papers, because I know people that they didn't know that they had papers.
They were in Mexico.
Yeah. So one of the people that I know, I think he passed away, but he said that he was one of my classmates. He said that he talked to his grandma. He's like, oh, you know, we're going to go to the Pal Norte. We're going to go work. He's like, okay, aquí están tus papeles. I'm like, what? I'm like, yeah, you were born over there. But they took him as a baby back, and then he didn't know, but he was legal.
Mm-hmm.
Illegally, he was an American. So he just gave him his papers, made his way back into the
U.S. Yeah, that's it.
So, you know, okay, so one of these things, you can probably ask him the reason why he wanted to do a la brava instead of, you know, just walking through the border and like, hey. Save himself in trouble, danger, all kinds of stuff that happens.
Right. Yeah. And I remember, like, when he would tell us, you know, we were kind of like laugh about it. Like, you know, why would you do that? But I just can't remember what he would say.
That's cool.
But
that's cool. But, all right. So as far as the name, the name of the channel and the name Mark Steady TV, I don't know if it's a slang for anything or short for anything, but is the reason why you went with that particular name, whatever you had the channel?
So I was looking for, I was trying to come up with a catchy name for the channel, because, you know, I want to kind of keep it broad eventually, do a little bit more expand automotive side, you know.
Nice.
So I didn't want to just be like, you know, it's just one strictly, you know, kind of a name that was more directed to one genre of vehicles, you know what
like
I mean?
You didn't want to name it Lowrider Life or anything.
Something like that, yeah.
Stuck
yeah.
within that niche.
Exactly.
And not able to expand.
Expand, right.
That's nice. That's
so, you know, we were chilling in the garage, and I was talking to my brother. I was like, man, what do I, you know, let's think of a name. And we were thinking, and, you know, he's always called me Mark. And I was like, Mark, and like, well, what about Mark Steady? I was like, Mark Steady TV. I was like, yeah, you know, I kind of like the sound of that.
Yeah.
And I was like, and it makes sense. You know, I got to be out there filming. I have to kind of keep steady. You know, I can't be out there with shaky hands. So, you know, I got it, and I rode with it, and, you know, it's Mark
Steady. You are very steady on your footage.
I try, man. I try.
Where, if with your permission, we could take some of the footage from your channel, and we're going to post it here so you can show us some of the beautiful things that you do. We get into more depth. And there's the logo right there. So whenever you see that on a YouTube channel or a short, any social media, make sure you go check out his video.
Subscribe.
Yeah, go ahead and subscribe too, man. Yeah, I have a problem. So, so that's how the name came to be, Mark Steady. And then yeah. The logo, who was it that made your logo?
The logo, some dude from, or some person from the app. I forgot what it's called.
Fiverr?
There you go.
Fiverr,
yeah. Shout out to Fiverr.
Yeah.
It was like $50 or something like that. You know, it was pretty reasonably cheap. And I told him, it's like, well, you know, I'm from Texas. I make videos. I kind of want to incorporate the, you know, the Texas colors.
Kind of looks like the little YouTube logo too.
Yeah, a little YouTube logo. Yeah. And I kind of wanted to, you know, keep it a little bit more, something that, you know, people can connect, you know, a little bit more, you know, have the little TV with the antennas, yeah. You know, a little more old school. Yeah. So there you go. He sent me that, and I was like, it's pretty dope.
It's great. I like it. It's very recognizable because you see it everywhere on flyers and things, and it stands out immediately. Mark Steady TV.
There it is. Steady TV.
That's awesome. So your YouTube channel, you joined YouTube in June 8, 2021. At that time when you lost your channel, is the date on the thing. I know. I checked.
You do your homework.
It's in the about section. You don't know. But whenever it's close about the same time we joined the YouTube channel for the Global Latin Factor. However, at that time, you were doing a little bit more blogging, like blogging style type of stuff. But then about a year ago, you switched gears and began to dive into the lowrider community. Where did the desire or the decision to go into that way? And is it just you or your brother? We were discussing the name, or is it a joint thing, or is it just you?
Well, the channel is me, but you know, I take advice from, you know, you gotta stay open minded.
Yeah,
you know, being my brother, you know, he has that hustle mentality, so we always talk about, you know, ideas and stuff like that.
That's dope.
But it came about 2001. We went to Alaska, and it was a beautiful trip. I came back, you know, motivated, taking pictures and videos, and, you know, editing cool trips, videos from that trip. And I don't know, I was just hyped about making videos. And I started, you know, at the time I was doing mountain biking, I was a little more fit. I don't know, we've always been into lowriders, my brother and I. And just one day, one of those days, we're chilling, and I was like, man, I want to make videos with the lowrider community, because I wouldn't see, you know, people doing that around here. You know, you see a lot of photographers and videographers coming out of like LA.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A lot of the reels that you see or TikToks that you see of lowrider content, it's coming out of California. And I was like, man, you know, I'd like to do something with the lowrider community.
Yeah.
So I told my brothers, like, this is what I'm going to do. So I typed up a paragraph and I CC'd it to like 8 guys that, you know, I saw it had lowrider stuff, you know, and like, I didn't know anybody. So I was just kind of putting myself out there, you know, so I'm, hey, you know, this is my name. This is what I want to do. This is what I would like to do. And told them a little bit about myself.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't just be like, oh, you know, who the hell is this guy? Who's this guy, you know?
Because they're a tight community sometimes. They don't let anybody in sometimes.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. I don't want to seem like a culture vulture or whatever, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Because, you know, I got it in my roots. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I sent it out, sent the same message to a few guys, and most of them responded right away. So Mark Mata from Dallas Lowriders, you know, told me, he's like, yeah, man, it's like, you know, if you show love to the community will show love back.
Yeah.
And shout out to Mark Mata from Dallas Lowriders. And yeah, he sent me a schedule. We're going to be at this place, this time, you know, this date. And like 2 days later, I was on Jefferson recording.
That's Lowriders. Dope. That's dope. So let's go back a little bit before we get back into the... what took you to Alaska? What made you want to go over there? How did that come to be?
We were out eating with some cousins and friends. And one of my cousins stands up. He's like, hey, man, I found tickets to Alaska for like $200. Are you down? Yes or no? We're like, all right, let's do it.
Super.
It was like spontaneous. Yeah, yeah. We were at a restaurant somewhere in Oak Cliff. And we're like, all right, yeah, sure. So he booked them. He's like, all right. He took everyone's IDs.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, let's ask. I had another buddy. Let's ask Dino. Take some. Hey, Dino, Alaska, yes or no? Yes. All right. Dino's in. So he booked all the tickets. And 4 or 5 months later, we were in Alaska.
Were you at, was it a cruise type or was it like a cabin or what?
No, we flew into Anchorage. And then we rented a Airbnb. It was a cabin.
Yeah.
About an hour and a half away from Anchorage. Nice. It was pretty dope.
How long were you there?
Like 5 days or something like that.
And what was it that you liked the most about it? The scenery, the just everything?
Man, that's because it's like, just picture, I don't know if you've been to like Colorado or anywhere, I guess, around here in the state or lower 48.
Yeah.
Picture that times 10.
Like mountain, ice.
It was just
beautiful scenery.
Beautiful, man. Like everywhere you look, it's just...
It's like a movie scene
picture. Yeah, movie scene, dude. It's
that's dope.
It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Convinced me. I must make my way to Alaska.
Like, you know, like people ask me, Alaska, what are you doing in Alaska?
That's
like,
what I was thinking when you said
go to Alaska, you'll see.
That's dope.
Like you can't get enough.
That's badass. Yeah. Okay, so when you say you were into the lowriders, were any of your family into like in the car clubs itself, or do you just like to look at the magazines, the videos, attend the car shows? What was it?
Man, you know, I was telling a homie, Turtle, from Turtles Detailing.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you know, it's like I wasn't fortunate enough to have a Theo or a cousin, you know, or a relative, close relative that was, you know, into lowriders.
Right.
I have some cousins, you know, older cousins that, you know, they grew up in, you know, in the scene, but I guess, you know, they didn't stick with it or whatever the case was.
Yeah.
But no, you know, we really weren't around the lowrider thing too much, but we liked it. My older brother had a lowrider bike. He started building it, and then I wanted one, so we started building mine. And we built them pretty cool. And then one day, my parents had a spot at the Harry Hines Bazaar.
Mm-hmm.
So one day my brother was like, you know, I'm going to take it to the puesto and see if I can sell it. So the first day, you know, within a couple of hours, wow, they were like, hey, man, do you have more? And like, I was like, yeah, I got one more. So we took it the next day. The same guys came and picked that one up. Me and my brother were like, man, we should do something with this. This was back in 2005.
You're not lying when you're saying your brother got that.
Huh? Yeah, man.
Spirit.
It was cool, man. And, dude, we made a business out of it for like 3 years until my parents sold the spot. And we got out of Harry Hines Bazaar. But, it kind of slowed down, so we thought, you know, the culture wasn't around, you know, here anymore.
Yeah.
For the longest, we didn't see any lowriders until one day we were on Jefferson picking up my pops from one of the bus stations.
Uh-huh.
I think it was after a car show, and dude, there was lowriders up and down Jefferson. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And that is actually what sparked that fire up again. That was before I said, hey, I want to make, you know, videos with the lowrider community.
Because you know they were there.
Yeah, I was like, you know, it was just like, you know,
they're still alive and pumping.
Yeah, man, it was like, man, we were like freaking out. You know, it was like, they were everywhere. Yeah. So, and that was our first time seeing something like that in years.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, we now, you know, live in Mesquite. We grew up in Oak Cliff, Lovefield, ended up in Balch Springs. So, you know, we weren't in the Jefferson area, you know, as much. But we did, and now I'm back in the scene.
That's dope. So tell me about the very first time, the very first car show that you go to. Do you remember which one it was? And what did it feel like for you to be there? I know they say if you're there, they're going to embrace you, which I don't doubt it whatsoever, because I think there's a little bit of confusion of the people within the lowrider community for the general public.
Right.
But as far as for you, your experience for the first car
show that you went to film? Like, what would be like, I don't know what you call it, a blog or just cool content that you record?
Like, how was it, my experience?
Yeah.
It was good. Like I said, just when I went out there to start doing it, I think, I don't know if it was either the event that they had at the Culture Center right there on Jefferson,
mm-hmm.
or there was the Mexican Independence on Greenville. One of those two, the same week, I think it was. But everybody was open to it, you know? Because like I said, when I started doing it, this doesn't go that far back, but
yeah.
There wasn't folks. Like, if you go to Jefferson on the weekend now, you see a lot of cameras out there. You know what I mean? And when I started doing that, there was a couple guys, you know? So I was all up in the mix. Like, I'm out there, you know, you're driving out of the parking spot. I'm like in front of you walking backwards, you know, with a camera and a tripod, you know?
Yeah.
So like, people are like, you know, who's this guy? You know, but like, everyone was cool, you know? You think, you know, like a lot of, you know, folks have their past and you don't know somebody. So you kind of like, you know, you get kind of intimidated,
mm-hmm.
but, everybody was welcoming, open arms and send me flyers. Hey, yeah, we're going to be here this day and come check us out.
That's dope.
And, eventually people started knowing Mark City TV. And
how do you feel overall, the feeling of you being there, just recording? And just,
I felt cool, man. Cars. Yeah. I felt cool. Yeah. Like, I mean, I was like up close, you know, in front of a desirable 64 Impala, you know, and you know, you're like right there. It's like when I would go to the exotic car shows, you know, you see a beautiful, you know, Lamborghini, and you're like right there.
Yeah,
and it's like, I mean, to me as a car enthusiast, you know, it's like, it's badass.
Have you ever been to Kalamazoo? They have a museum of freaking hundreds of cars, thousands of cars, bro.
I have
classic cars. They're not lowrider, they're regular classic cars, but you're talking about some of the earlier cars.
That's here in DFW, right?
No. Kalamazoo, okay. Michigan.
Oh, okay.
It's okay, worth going.
Somebody posted a post on Facebook the other day, and I think this might have been it. They detailed some cars or something like that, and I was checking it out. But
yeah, there's a Kalamazoo. I don't forget the name of the museum, but there's a whole museum there of cars, and then some are old cars. Some are the old.
Right.
The old
very winding, very first crank them car, up.
You know, that's this crazy. Weekend. If you're a car enthusiast, mm-hmm. bro, you need to go over there at least once to get, you know, they don't trip, take videos or whatever. Nobody said nothing, but it's so many freaking cars. You'll be there a whole day. You'll be there the whole day.
My wife's
and,
coming.
And then one room, you see like sports cars, the newer Corvettes, whatever the case. In the next room, the big old looking freaking cars that the mafia dudes used to. And another room is like another thing. Like every room is super endless. Crazy, dude. I was like a kid.
I'm like, look at this one.
Oh, yeah. Man, and there's all kinds of colors and like, there's so many freaking cars.
That sounds pretty sweet.
Bro, I guarantee you'll be exhausted by the time you know, but you'll be like, damn, there are so many beautiful cars here.
Yeah.
And then the content you'll create is like, wow.
That's cool.
Yeah. They even have the McLaren from the, it's not the actual car, mm-hmm. but the McLaren from Back to the Future.
Okay.
They have like one that you can sit down and take.
That's just,
yeah.
That's cool. That's pretty badass.
That's pretty cool. Okay. So you do everything as far as the editing, the shooting, the editing and everything else, right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
And does that take you a little while? Is there a particular system that you use that anybody could be like able to use if they ever desire?
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, definitely. Sorry to cut you off.
No, you're good.
I do most of my stuff on my phone.
On your phone?
Yeah, on my phone, yeah. So I'll record, edit, everything on my phone.
What is the software do you use, the app you use?
The app is InShot, and you can get them like the Play Store or whatever.
InShot, yeah.
Yeah, InShot.
Before.
You just do the memberships, you can get the more, you know, detailed little packets that they have, more editing things. But yeah, I just kind of started, I messed with a couple of them, found one that I liked.
Yeah.
I could say, I guess mastered this little app.
That's cool.
You know, but I do want to jump into a more actual software, do some crazier edits. Cause I see some really nice videos with really sweet edits. And I'm like,
Carlos would probably tell you why they do that. The Vinci ones or some other free ones that are for like PC and stuff, for computers,
mm-hmm.
that would be like a good, probably advice you on some of them.
Gotcha.
That'll be dope. But It doesn't matter though. The whatever you got going out, the way you do it, it looks really good.
I appreciate
and
it.
And it's crazy that you do it, which is not uncommon now, but right. still crazy that you're able to do everything.
Yeah.
How long does it take you to edit the video?
It depends, man. Well, with working on, I mean, lately it's been taking a few weeks, depending on the video. Yeah, at least right now, like 3 weeks type stuff. I try to push them out a little sooner, but, you know, work. Sometimes I won't work on them for like 3 days, or sometimes I'll work on them for like 4 days, and I'll be just like, oh, man, stressed out about the video, and I'm like, you know, I need a break. Let me stop, and I'll take like a day or two break and then get back to it, and I'm kind of more refreshed.
Yeah. Does it take you, so you don't have a particular schedule as far as you releasing? You try to do it, what, every 3 weeks, you said?
I want to. That's what I'm trying to, that's what I'm trying to do. That's what I'm trying to get myself to edit the videos faster. But it's hard. It's hard.
We started, when we launched, to make sure that we stayed on schedule.
Yeah.
We pre-recorded a bunch of stuff beforehand. So all we had to worry about is the editing which he does. And then we would try to get more in the chamber, but we had a bunch of stuff going on. But just minimum to stay consistent weekly episodes will be to record a bunch of other ones already ready to go. And we just focus on editing by the time that the next week comes around, so we can stay consistent. So we took almost a whole 2 months before recording once a week to make sure that we had some. And some were, for whatever reason, it was scratched off. We couldn't use it anymore. But it was okay, though, because we had other ones that we had recorded that were still pending and they're going to be released.
Right.
So that's how we did it, to make sure we stay consistent. But that's what the YouTube be looking for.
Yeah, I know.
Consistency. But it doesn't change the fact that you are 1,000 and how many subscribers now? Because it grows.
1,200.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Subscribe.
Mark Steady TV. Go subscribe right now. You'll see the logo. Tell somebody. I'm not telling you what to do. However, don't be a butt. Don't be just watching the video and not subscribe and move on. Don't get me wrong. I do it too, but sometimes it's a one-off. But if you really like the community and you really like the videos, go subscribe.
Support your boy.
So you can see it. Yeah. You get notifications about whenever he's doing a video. So whenever you go into an event, you get a flyer, somebody tells you about an event, what mindset do you go to as far as, like, do you already picture what you're going to be looking for, what you're looking for as far as the shots? And whenever you go into it, what kind of mindset do you go into when you go into an event?
I watch a lot of YouTube, like videography stuff, different shots, unique shots. I like to... I like to keep it different, interesting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't want to keep the same shots every video that you watch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I like to, you know, throw the whole gimbal and tripod through the windows, you know what I mean? And zoom out slowly. Different shots. But some shows, for example, last year's Dallas Lowriders Picnic, I was kind of brainstorming for 2-3 weeks ahead. You know, how I wanted it to go, how I wanted it to flow, the style of music that I wanted it, the feel that I wanted the video to give. I don't know if I mastered or I, you know, did that to everybody else, but to me, I feel like that's one of my better videos.
Because you like the angles, the different look, and then the way that the video was flowing.
The flow of it.
I really appreciate, I know that it sucks that you get probably copyrights on your
videos. Oh, no, lately all of them, because, yeah.
But the music choice, I don't know if it's worth it. They got free websites that you can get free video music that doesn't, but it just doesn't go with the flow of the scenery that you put in, the angles and the shot. You do a great job matching the songs with whatever you're doing, and it looks really good.
Because
I watched some of them as I was preparing for you. I was watching, so I'm like, oh, it's really nice and groovy, and it goes with the shot and the way that you're moving in. You can tell that you study the angles as the music's coming in.
Right,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like it. I like it a lot as far as the way you're matching the music with that vibe. It sucks the copyright.
Yeah, it does.
But at the end of the day, they still get theirs as far as you just, it might be a little harder to monetize.
Yeah. So at first, if you watch some of my older videos, I was using a website where, copyright free music. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was pretty good because, you know, I was doing pretty good with, like, the music selection.
Yeah.
I would be on that app, you know, website all the time just listening to music. But I feel like I did it to one point where it was like, you know, try something else.
Yeah.
And
YouTube have a feature for free music.
Free music, yeah.
But they don't have the selection that you're looking for that particular... Right. That particular scenery.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
That's dope.
And I was like, you know, I mean, it's not like I'm getting paid for my videos right now.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, if me using this music, you know, makes the video more interesting, gets more views or whatever.
So you're looking and working for the watch time right now.
Yeah.
That's what you're working
exactly,
for.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got the thousand.
Yeah.
You got the 1,000 out of the way subscribers. Now you need to watch the watch time.
Yeah.
That's pretty
cool. And the watch time is pretty decent for my, you know, 1,000 subscribers.
Yeah. Seen a lot of views. Yeah. 11K. What's the biggest one? 11K or?
Views?
Yeah.
Oh, no, dude, this Chicas and Vigilas video has like 60,000.
Jeez.
Yeah. And it was cool because it just, one day, it just like, I don't know, it caught an algorithm and it just started going 1,000, 2,000, 5,000, 15,000, 20. I was like, nah, that's what's up.
Did you check
copyrighted,
the,
but.
Did you check the CV? Was the particular hashtag that you used that might have set it off or what was it? Just by studying the video a little bit.
Maybe. I also think maybe like the cover that I used. Or, I don't know. It's a pretty cool video too. I like the flow of it. And the V-class, you know, yeah. V-class are popping, you know, especially there. A lot of them are coming out towards, you know, this way, Texas. From like,
what's the V-class exactly?
It's a, you know, just the motorcycle scene. You know, like the Harleys.
Okay.
You know, like lowrider motorcycles.
A lowrider motorcycle.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like the high class
video that you did.
They did, yeah, the video that I did with them, you know, more of that style.
No, really.
Yeah.
I guess it's a new term that I was hearing, and I thought maybe it was the bikes, like the pedals, but those are the pedals. Again, I'm not too much into. They got their own language as far as the lowrider community and what it is and what it's not. Right. I don't want to offend you. Apologize, but you know, there's a pedal bikes, there's a you know, the lowrider bikes, and then there's the other stuff that they have for classics and everything else. And then they have the B class, which is a new term to me because I didn't know. And when I was hearing, I'm like, what does he mean? There's no, but there's not a bicycle there. Oh, bike.
Yeah, right.
They're lowrider bikes. They're not just, and then a lot of them are Harleys. If it's just,
well, yeah, when you're talking about, no, I might correct me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about V-class, you're talking about like the motorcycle.
Motorcycle itself.
Itself.
It doesn't have to be necessarily a Harley.
I mean, I don't think so. I mean, I think that's what they, you know, what's more of the scene, Harleys.
Yeah.
Like I said, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, you know, so that's pretty Harley.
Vinny, I know, explain to us on the comments. Let us know what it is so we can educate us and I can know better and understand you. As far as which I do, I don't want to insult you either.
And that's why, you know, I want to get into the interviews, you know.
Yeah.
Because I appreciate you having me here because it gives me experience, you know, on how you do your thing, you know.
Absolutely.
So I can understand more, you know, of like the Vikla culture.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'll ask about that question here shortly. I seen one of your videos, and I don't know, maybe it's a term that you use. What is steady boulevarding? Is that
steady
is
boulevarding?
That,
yeah.
What exactly is
so steady? Steady boulevarding is like kind of like, I don't know if you heard like boulevard night.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of wanted to have my own, how do you call it, marketing. I don't know, kind of like I want to see steady boulevarding on people's cars. You know what I mean?
Okay, so like, being like a trademark.
A trademark. There you go. Okay. I couldn't get the word. Gotcha. Like my trademark. Yeah.
Yeah.
To where you know, when someone sees steady boulevarding, they know what channel that comes from. You know what I mean? It's kind of like more for, you know, the people that are out on the streets.
And this is more in the actual streets.
Yes.
Mostly in the evening cruising.
The more the street scene. You know.
Gotcha.
You're out on the boulevard. You're steady on the boulevard all the time. Like you know, like a Together's Car Club. They're always on the boulevard. You go on Sunday, you know, rain, sign, steady, you know.
That's steady boulevard.
So they're
That's it. Steady boulevard. You always steadily there. Yeah. Always constantly showing up.
My, you know, pictures of cars on the boulevard, you know, I'll tag them with steady boulevard.
That's dope.
Yeah, right. So
I like that. I saw it. I'm like, let me ask, what does it mean? Because it means more than what I think I'm looking at.
Right.
I see it, but I want to understand why is it that, or what is it going with? which direction is he going with that? So right. Thank you very much. I like that.
Very quickly, we just want to jump in to let you know, thank you very much for checking out this episode of the Global Latin Factor Podcast. Make sure you subscribe, hit the bell, and back to the episode.
Okay, so what is the craziest footage that you captured so far? That whether, and by crazy, I mean not like fights or anything like that, but like malfunctions. I know, like you put one of the guys, something happened. A car caught on fire.
Yeah.
In one of the hop contests. Mm-hmm. So what is the craziest footage or something like that that you capture?
I guess more on the, if you want to call it crazier side, yeah, like something that the car, you know, the pumps, they caught flame a little bit. It was pretty cool. It's funny. I mean, sorry, it's not funny.
It's not funny. It's dangerous. But
like,
it's
part of the whole thing, you know? Yeah. Like, to them, it's like, I mean, it sucks. You know what I mean? But it's part of it. You know?
But what happened exactly with that car?
It was something of a malfunction with the hydraulics. I really don't know. I'm not going to, you know, get into it.
You can see the flame.
Yeah. It was, see the flame. It sparked. I don't know if it was a wire that just another wire or what, if, you know, if anyone watching.
That's crazy that you were there to just, you could
cool.
Literally,
I got a
see
cool
the
little
freaking
shot.
Flame.
Yeah.
That's badass.
And like I said, I like to be all up in the mix.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't do it to shame anybody, but to give, you know, the viewer, you know, that experience, you know?
Because they would never understand just going, looking from the outside and looking at car show and look at cars right. Pop.
Yeah.
That some of these stuff happens, mm-hmm. that things break down.
Yeah.
Or that malfunctions happen, and you know, it could be a little dangerous at times. And you're given that angle that other people are like, I wouldn't go and just be out there filming.
Right, yeah.
But you do it.
I like to, I feel the room, you know? Like,
yeah.
What I don't record is like, you know, like pleitos, like, you know, when people are beefing or someone's talking too much trash. I don't want the negativity part of it, you know, because it doesn't happen often, but I've been around it, or I've, you know, been recording when, you know, something like that happens. Nothing crazy, but it's still, I don't want to record the negativity.
And you know what that sucks? That probably gives you more views.
That's what
I appreciate
me.
That though.
That's what
I really appreciate about that, because it's not about that. It's a one off. That something happened. Mm. People, like regular people, have misunderstandings. Something happened, and that was that. You know, but it's crazy that would, if you was to put it, it would have more views, and that's not cool at all.
Someone told me, it's like, man, you should just put it. People love drama.
I do, but it's not.
Yeah,
cool.
But it's like, I don't want to feed off of that. You know, like, I don't want people to, you know, say, like, oh yeah, you know. That guy's just here for the drama, you know? That's not what I'm there for.
I appreciate that very much. That is pretty cool, because that's not what the culture is about anyway.
No, for sure.
Again, it's one-off. Something happens. Sometimes it happens.
For sure.
People, alcohol, too much, whatever the case might be. And, you know, some people just might not like each other for whatever reason.
Right.
You don't know their history. You don't know what they do. Yeah. Stuff like that. So, but it's not that about. It's not about that. Mm-hmm. And then I appreciate that you're not focused on that. And I appreciate the beautiful cars. The beautiful work and the passion that these people put into those vehicles.
For sure.
A lot of work.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're trying to even elevate more into trying to find different new methods to do this. Like, maybe there was no engraving. Now they started to do engraving. Or maybe there's this and that. And that's more of something that is more unique and in the community instead of, like, the other stuff. Which is, again, I guarantee you probably get more views. But it's good that you don't. I'm with that, too. It's not that it's not part of it, but it's not all the time. You know?
Right.
It's one off. Okay. So, and what about the most favorite footage that you capture for you that you like the most? That you said, man, I really love this shot. I really like this.
I think it would probably be some of the Steady Boulevarding videos.
Yeah.
I really like, check it out, Steady Boulevarding episode 4.
Nice.
You have to go back a little bit. The very first scene to that video is from the drone. Footage shows pictures of downtown and getting closer to Jefferson, and then shots from like Jefferson and shots from the cars. Like, it was pretty dope. I like the cinematography of it, you know, side of it.
It's okay to be proud of it, bro.
Yeah.
You did an amazing job. So you do the drone too? So
yeah,
you actually operate the drone and do that too?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Yeah. That's badass. That's pretty cool. I want to do the drone one day.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Okay, so you have a little bit of a, I've seen a video of like a, it looks like a homemade movie set on your backyard or something like that, where like little model cars drive around and stuff. What is that?
Okay. No, it was at a homie's house. They are North Texas Red Cats. I'll send it to you so you can put it on there.
Absolutely.
I don't want to, you know, say the word or the name. But no, they invited me. They said, you know, they have like a get togethers of, you know, different guys that are in the hobby of building model cars.
Yeah.
And these model cars, dude, they're like,
it's like little cities, bro.
It's like, I couldn't do something like that if I tried, you know, yeah. maybe after years, but
yeah.
Like these detail, I'm talking about, you can make some of these cars. Some of those cars on that video, it looks like you're, you know, looking at a real car.
At first look, first glance, whenever first I was glance. Looking, I thought I was looking at a real car.
Oh, yeah.
And so you started, like the camera started going out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize it's not an actual street. Yeah. It's not a real car. Well, it's a real car, but not a, it's a model car. It's not a freaking, an actual car.
Yeah, yeah.
Until you zoomed out and you were like, what the heck?
Yeah.
This?
So it's pretty dope. He's got a cool setup in his backyard. He, you know, they did little buildings, little gas stations, street lights. Like a little boulevard, and you know, they'll go out there, hang out for a couple hours. And
is there a particular name they have for it? For that,
I mean, yeah, it would be, I guess just well, the Red Cats is the brand, like the model cars,
yeah.
But I guess it would just be like RC, you know, lowriders.
So that's another thing that's been actually picking up too, more the model cars,
yeah,
right?
Not yeah, just yeah.
the regular,
yeah, like on you know, nowadays the bigger lowrider shows they're including. RC section, you know, and,
really?
And they're doing, you know, like little competitions, hop competitions, and give out trophies for those too. So, hey,
what does the RC mean?
Remote control.
Remote control.
Remote control. Yeah. At least I come think,
on. Bro. It took me a long time to find out what I have meant, let alone RC. Like, what the heck is
yeah, so, yeah, remote control. Control. Yeah. So, yeah, the RC hobby or the RC scene is popping.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's pretty dope.
So the V-Class. And the newer thing would be the remote, the RCs.
RC, yeah. I mean, I guess if you want to call it newer, well, it's not
really. To me, it seemed like it's newer because I haven't seen it in a long time. And I've done car shows before.
To the extent that they're making them.
Yeah.
You know, now. Yeah, for sure. Because, I mean, you have like little action figures inside of the model cars that actually move, that they function.
What?
Yeah, yeah. There's you can see it on one of the videos, I think. They have a Cheech and Chong Impala. One Impala,
yeah,
and you know, Cheech and Chong are inside of the car, and you know, they move their head, and think Chong is like hitting a blunt or something, and the blunt actually lights up, yeah, it's like hitting a little red light, yeah, it's pretty dope.
That's crazy. Huh. Again, it wasn't that that intricate. Whenever I was, I did a couple car shows, it never was that crazy.
That's what, yeah,
you know, that detail, that much work into it.
It's cool.
There was a couple of remote control cars where people were just driving around with it,
mm-hmm.
but nothing like that.
Yeah.
That's just another level.
It's another level for sure.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Dope.
Okay, so you did an interview with High Class, V-Class, and I really enjoyed, I know you mentioned earlier you want to get into the interview. I really enjoyed the interview. Of course, you had great questions that you asked, but the actual, what it looked like as the set,
mm-hmm.
the background, the bikes in the back as you were talking to the guys, I think is like, I don't know, a lot of people like to use the aesthetic word, but the look itself for me was like crazy good.
Cool.
Because I couldn't duplicate that if I wanted to here in the studio.
Right.
But in front of, or next to their car or next to their bike, talking and having interesting questions about how they got into it. What are you doing? What do you like the most about your vehicle? Great, amazing questions. And they were appreciative as far as what you were asking them.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell you did your homework as far as what you were prepared to ask the questions that you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, talk about something that they're super proud, which is their bikes. And then some of the more detailed questions, what's your favorite part about what you have? Oh, I've done this before. Nobody's done it before. And this mm-hmm. is the gold. I think the gold.
The gold plating.
Gold plating. Mm-hmm. And there's not a lot of people that done it. One of the first ones. And then that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So you're thinking of moving more into or adding it to your, the videos?
Adding it to the videos. I think, because like I was saying earlier, I don't want to, I like to keep my videos interesting. I don't want to, you know, keep recreating the same videos just with different music or different shots.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a lot of, I've met a lot of great people since I started doing this.
Right.
And a lot of these people have crazy, you know, stories. You know, crazy backgrounds to where just the other day a buddy was telling me, he's like, man, it's like, you know, when I got out, you know, I was at my lowest and I could never imagine this. And now this dude has, you know, like the most beautiful, pristine cars, you know, like 57 Bel Airs, you know, 58 Impalas, 64 ragtop, 63 ragtop.
Yeah.
You know, when just 10, 15 years ago, you know, he was like, I'm in this hole that I'm never going to get out of. You know what I mean? So I want to like bring that out, you know? I want to give that to the people, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a, it's inspirational, you know what I mean?
It is.
There could be somebody that's just got out last week and they could be in this, those same shoes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And maybe one day they'll come across a interview like that and be like, man, this guy did it. I can do it.
Yeah. That is true. I like that. I like that idea. Then I guess the look, the placement of the vehicles, the style of the interview, the setup that you can have as far as and with their baby, with their vehicles, whatever it is, bike, I think it'll be amazing. And then again, I know that you're really good already at getting the questions out. I mean,
I try. I'm not as good as you.
You did good. No, you did amazing, bro. I was really enjoying the interview and the questions and the in-depth and the connectivity. Connecting, and not to mention the part of something that we have similar as far as inspiring with that, that even though you might had a little issue that you had when you were younger, that you made a bad decision, but that's mm-hmm. not going to hold you from being able to be, like, have this cars, have this type of, if you really wanted to do this, you know,
mm-hmm.
if you're not defined by what you did before and just getting out and you're not going to be stuck. If you decide that you're not going to be stuck and there's other things that you can shoot for.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that very much. So you were part of a big concert not that long ago. It was the last year, I think, right? In Arlington, if I'm not mistaken?
Quinto Sol.
Yeah. Was that you?
Yes.
So you were part of...
Well, I wasn't part of, like, I guess, the concert itself,
mm-hmm.
But more of the Lowrider show that came with it.
Gotcha.
It was actually really cool. I mean, there were some hiccups within, you know, the contact or how you say it, the communication, but aside from all that, it was pretty cool because I hit them up. I was curious what it would cost to bring them, you know, to do an event with them
mm-hmm.
out of my budget. I told them, you know, it's out of my budget now, but later down the road, we'll see what's up.
Mm-hmm.
A couple weeks later, they hit me up and they're like, hey man, you know, we're going to Arlington and we would like for you to, you know, organize a Lowrider show for us. So I was like, psyched, you know, I was like, heck yeah, let's do it. And, you know, they said, send us your logo. They sent me boxes full of flyers, and I was out there in downtown spreading out flyers and promoting the show. Did the show, I had a lot of support. It was great. It was hiccups within the show, but, you know, it happened. It, you know.
So you were the main organizer for that
for the Lowrider, not the main organizer for the concert, but for the show.
No, yeah, for the show.
For the show, yeah.
For the Lowrider car. Yeah. Show that they had outside the concert, you were the one.
Yes, sir. That's yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, it was cool, yeah. You know, Quinto Sol, you know, Manuel himself, a scribe, called me, and he was like, hey, bro, what's up, man? You know, we like what you're doing. We'd like for you to organize a car show for us. Like,
yeah.
For real? Like, yeah. And, you know, they included me in the flyers, the digital flyers, the digital, you know, the commercials.
Oh,
the promotions. Yeah, they had my logos and all that stuff on there. So that was pretty dope for, you know.
It's pretty cool.
For me to hit them up, not being able to afford them, and then they hit me up, and bam. You know, it still ended up happening.
Hey.
So it was pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like that. That's pretty cool. Not to mention, not only do you do that part, but you also done your own toy drive, or
mm-hmm.
your toy mm-hmm. drive with your name, but you have other car clubs involved, correct?
Right, yeah.
How did that idea come about? Why did you have the desire to mm-hmm. do a car, an actual toy drive?
My community. You don't see many events in my community of Botch Springs. So I started to get involved with the community of, like, you know, like with council members in Botch Springs, and eventually, you know, my activity within the community,
mm-hmm.
they put me onto, like, the Parks and Recreation Board and the Tourism Board and stuff like that. And I wanted to create something, and one day I contacted Josie from the United Lowriders Association.
Shout out to the ULA.
Shout out to everybody in the ULA. And I asked her, I was like, what would it take, you know, for me to do a, you know, organize a car show? They're like, man, we can make it happen. I was like, I want to do a toy drive. And they're like, man, we've made toy drives happen within a week.
Mm-hmm.
And there was 3 weeks before that date that I had kind of imagined.
Yeah.
And, I called one of the council members from Botch Springs, and I asked her, you know, I told her what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
She put me in touch with the head of commerce of Botch Springs,
mm-hmm.
And he called me, and he said, he was excited. He was like, man, I've been wanting to do a car show in Botch Springs for the longest, but I don't have any connections. Wow. And I was like, well, shoot, let's do it. And he was excited. He included, you know, the city of Balch Springs. He was able to give the event more supporters, you know.
That's awesome.
A lot of great support for those events.
And that was the first annual one?
The first one. That was the first one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we had probably like 30 cars show up. It was a good first event. I was happy. Mm-hmm. Saw a lot of smiles that day. So it was perfect. It was great. We gave out a lot of toys. So
awesome.
We were bringing toys and give them out.
Oh,
so
wow.
Yeah. So the same day. So it was cool. And then last year, well, it was a lot bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Had about 70 cars, beautiful cars.
Same place.
Same spot. Yeah. So it was at a Walmart parking lot. This time we used a whole lot. You know, it was much bigger. Cane's was our host, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
Cane's Chicken Fingers. And we had a lot of toys. We probably had like 500 kids go by and pick up toys.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. It was cool. And the support was unreal. It was cool. I had a dude from Austin come in, you know, and he sells little homie figurines. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was the city of Balch Springs like that. We brought in people from surrounding cities and even from, you know, out of town. And
that's
so
dope.
So
that's dope. Cool. So definitely satisfied. So is there plans for the third year?
Yes. Yes, there is.
It's
sure.
A little bit early, but yeah. It's about that time.
But man, you know, time flies by real
yeah,
fast.
It is.
It goes by so quick. By the time you know it, you know, everyone's doing the school supplies drives and then the trunk of treats. Yep. And then here comes the toy drives.
Just like that.
Yeah, just like that. So yeah, for sure. Third annual Mark Steady TV. Toy drive, toy giveaway.
Stay special. And look out. Go follow him on IG, on social media, so you can stay. He'll let us know what that is.
For sure.
So you'll know where it's at. And that's dope, bro. So, okay. So tell me something. So whenever you were trying to reach out to the community, the lower ed community, I'm pretty sure thoughts came into mind because maybe you didn't understand what it was or what it is or how they were going to receive you. However, once they told you were good to go, what is something about the lowrider community, the bike community, and everybody that when you began to film it, that you really, like, you really learned about them? What is a few things that you have learned so far?
They're proud of their vehicles, of what they make, you know? And you see that when you get comments on YouTube or people send you DMs, saying, hey, man, you know, we appreciate what you're doing for the community. You know, we support you. You have our support. Or when I make an event and they hit me up and like, hey, man, you got our support. You know, you always show us support. So it's like, you know, it gives me a little bit, I guess, validation, you can say,
yeah,
of to what I'm doing. Makes me feel good that what I want to accomplish is kind of coming along. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, they make, you know, there's beautiful rides out here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's beautiful lowriders out here. The other day, there was a ton of Impalas on Jefferson. Like, I have a video that I haven't put out. It's like 7 minutes of Impala heaven.
Wow.
It's just on like, with, you know, within one block of Jefferson, it's just Impalas up and down everywhere.
That's
so, you know, it's like, the lowrider scene is big in Cali. So you think about lowriders, you automatically think about California, you know, L.A., you know. You probably don't think, well, maybe nowadays you do more, but you're always going to probably go to Cali first.
But,
you know,
we have a
and I'm
strong
culture. I'm trying to, you know, like, I'm from D-Town, you know, and I want to, you know, put it out there.
We have a culture. We have a lowrider.
It's out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's,
you can see it on
popping.
On Jefferson.
Oh, yeah.
Every Sunday that they post up.
Just the Sundays. Yeah.
Every Sunday.
And, Fort Worth, you know, they don't get left behind.
Yeah.
They're, ooh, boy.
That too.
And shout out to Fort Worth, because every time I go to Fort Worth, the first time I went to Fort Worth, I was introducing myself to, you know, the folks, and they're like, oh, yeah, we know who you are, man. We know Mark Steady. I'm like, oh, that's what's up.
That's,
you know,
dope.
So, you know, every time I go to Fort Worth, you know, they show a lot of love.
That's
what's up.
That's awesome. And some of the misunderstanding that people might see because of movies, things like that, that people might get confused about the lowrider community or the lowrider people, what do you think would be some of the clarification? They're not nothing like that. Nothing that they might see on TV or whatever the case might be.
I guess the biggest one would be like gangbangers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Drug dealers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You see Cadillac candy paint, you know, $20,000 paint job. everything golden engraved, you know, someone that doesn't know about the culture, you know, what are they going to think? Oh, you know, they probably go to that first.
But you know firsthand that there's people be working hard.
Oh, bro, money. Yeah, man. I mean,
not of my business owners.
Most of our business
owners. Yeah, most of our business owners.
Like, I'm trying to hustle so I can be on that level, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's an expensive hobby, you know? It's an expensive hobby. Now, you're talking about $20,000 paint jobs, you know what I mean? And then if you want pinstriping, that's, you know, another, you know, grip. And then if you want gold leafing, that's more. You know what I mean? The rims, interior, it's ads.
How much research did you do as far as learning about all those things?
You know what? A little bit. I want to do more, and I'm actually trying to do more. I'm trying to understand and I'm trying to know how to do a hydraulic system. Because I'm, you know, in the obviously hydraulics is hand in hand with lowriders. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if someone ever asks me if I'm out there doing my thing and they're like, oh, what is that? You know, I'm like, oh, it's a hydraulic system. How does it work? Oh, you know,
so you want to be able to be an expert, not only,
yeah, you know, I wanna...
not only somebody that does like the eyes of other of the outside people that don't understand it, but also to be able to explain to it. Because you're very helpful. I know I saw one of your videos of one of the shows that you were doing that you were telling them. That they, like, it was one of the taco ones.
Tacos and Tail Lights.
Tacos and Tail Lights.
Shout out to Mystic Car Club.
And you were explaining to the lady, a couple,
they're from El Paso.
Yeah, another show.
Mm-hmm.
So you're very helpful in that. So in addition, you're trying to add your expertise of learning how hydraulics so you can better explain to people
what it is. Yeah. I like to know what I'm talking about, you know what I mean? And especially if I'm around it, I don't want to, you know, I want to make sure that I know what I'm doing and what I'm talking about.
That's appreciated. Yeah. I appreciate the community, the lowrider community. We definitely appreciate that very much. And the fact that they're not that crazy stuff that you might hear from the outside or not think think that they are, that they're not. They're hardworking people.
Not for sure.
Very expensive. And the hydraulic ones too. I know I've seen a video from some other guy, other YouTuber that did that they break down often. It's expensive because some of them are daily drivers.
Yeah.
That when they're hopping, there's pumps, there's stuff going on, it's going to break. It's just part of the things that happen.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's another crazy stuff that they have to spend money on, the hoppers.
It's an expensive hobby, man.
Very expensive.
Very expensive hobby.
All right, man, we're running short on time. Thank you very much. Was there any other thing that you had in mind? I know I had asked you about a few questions, but I don't know if you have anything in mind that you wanted to talk about, not something in your heart that you wanted to speak about in your mind firsthand?
No, I mean, I guess I'm just appreciative for every opportunity I get, you know what I mean? Everyone that hits me up to, hey, come out to our car show, or, you know, sends me flyers, or, you know, people that, you know, hit me up and include me into their events. You that, you know, include me into your podcast.
Absolutely.
You know, I appreciate everything that's support, you know what I mean? And they, you know, like the saying, support those who support you.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? I appreciate you being here very much. Again,
I appreciate that.
It was a little bit of short notice. You never done an actual interview.
It's a cool experience.
So, and now you know how it goes. Okay, so tell us all your social media. Where can they find you? Where can they contact you? And any events that you have coming up that you're going to be posted up? It's probably going to be 3 weeks before we release. 3 to 4 weeks.
Okay.
So anything you have?
Well, social media, I'm fortunate to. I don't think there's any other Mark Steady TV, so... Instagram, Mark Steady TV. I'm not on TikTok. Facebook. My profile is Mark Steady. And then I also have like my Facebook page, Mark Steady TV. But my main one is obviously YouTube, Mark Steady TV.
You don't like TikTok?
People told me, man, why didn't you get into it? You know, you could have blown up, but I never got into it. And
it's nice.
I never did it. Yeah.
It's sweet because people were really looking for that type of content.
For sure. Yeah.
Here in the Dallas area, they wouldn't realize that.
Yeah,
there, and it's easy. It's fairly easy app to use.
And who knows? Y'all keep on the lookout. I might,
but the shorts, it's the same thing.
Yeah,
but on TikTok.
So that's what I'm trying to focus more on, like reels and stuff. And I'll try to put out more reels on Instagram, Facebook, stuff like that.
But TikTok does compensate you too. After a certain amount, 10,000K, you can go live, and people start giving you money, as far as followers and things like that. So.
Right.
You can go hand in hand.
You might see me on TikTok soon.
It's more work, but again, it's pretty cool to be able to. People be tapping in into those, especially not realizing to the world that there's a lowrider community in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Yeah, right.
And you're capturing all that.
For sure.
So Yeah, that's pretty cool. Events? You said any events?
Of my own. Yeah, look out for December. Might be around, you know, the teens for my toy drive.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start posting flyers when that, you know, when I start getting into that. But other events, I mean, there's next week, there's a Big Lorda show here in Dallas. I guess by the time this comes out, it already passed.
Yeah.
But yeah, look out for that video on my YouTube. But no, I mean, there's events basically every weekend, you know?
Yeah.
There's if you want to go to a car show, you know, there's probably one down the street from you on a Sunday.
And most of them are free to the public.
You can free to the public, man. All you got to do is show up and have a good time.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yes, sir.
Any shout outs that you have? Anybody want to give a shout out?
Shout out to you, man, for having me on here. Latin Factor, I appreciate y'all. Shout out to the Lowrider community. And this, you know, extends beyond DFW because I've been to, you know, I want to go more places, but as of right now, my belt, San Antonio last year, and they were welcoming. So, you know, everybody that watches my videos, everyone that hits me up, everyone that DMs me and, you know, says, hey, man, we appreciate what you do. And, you know, that's what's up. You know, hey, we watch your videos. I was like, I appreciate that.
You know? So is there plans for you to go outside? I know Oklahoma, Vegas, New Mexico.
Yeah, yeah.
California has some. Is there definitely plans to maybe hit the road?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that was actually my main plan for this year. But it's been kind of a slow for me because of work.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I do want to hit up for sure El Paso. I want to make it out to Cali next year for sure for the Cinco de Mayo and all that. I want to make it out to Vegas, you know, the big spots, you know what I mean? The sweet spots. And even up like further up north, you know, like Omaha, Nebraska has a Lowrider scene and you, exactly that face. You'd be like, really?
Yeah, that's the look. I'm like, what?
Yeah, you know? Yeah. So, you know, I want to go out there to where like, you know, I make a video and, you know, Omaha, Nebraska. And it's like, what, Lowriders in Nebraska? You know, so
that's crazy.
I'll get there. I'll get to y'all.
I don't doubt it whatsoever. Yeah. Best of luck to you.
Appreciate it.
Okay, so what is an important lesson that you learned when you started doing this as far as capturing videos and doing your editing that you would tell your younger self that would help somebody else out? What would that be?
Consistency. Consistency and just doing it, man. Getting out of your comfort zone, main thing. It's easy to stay in your comfort zone. It's easy for me to stay in my comfort zone, and sometimes it's hard for me to get out. When I put myself on camera, like my face, that's me getting out of my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of wanted like different shots, or when I go up to people, that's me getting out of my comfort zone. But, you know, you enhance the videos or you enhance whatever you're doing to get out of your comfort zone. But consistency and get out of your comfort zone.
I like your bloopers. after you go to the Fort Worth one, that you did a couple of takes. And then you were embracing that, like, hey, it's okay not to.
When I pulled up,
it's okay, like, not to get it once. It's all good. Yeah. Lay it off and then get it on. And it's part of it included. And it was pretty funny to me.
Cool.
I thought it was pretty, like, cool. Like, oh, that's funny. Because I do it all the time. Sometimes stumbling through and then before, you know what? Let's put it in there, include it in the video.
Right. Yeah.
Because they can see it's more real. It's not, like, fabricated or it's not whatever.
Yeah, I'm practicing the script. You know, like, I already, when I come on camera, I already say it now. It's like. On the fly.
Yeah, for us, like here, it's like one shot thing. Like we really try to capture the episode with minimal editors to make it easier for Carlos, but at the same time, have like just one shot of what we had going on, the moment we had here.
Mm-hmm.
That. And I think it's important for those to see that part that it's real, that it's not like chopping editing.
Right,
That's what it was. It's really whatever y'all see is what it is because there's really very little editing besides the color enhancing. And I think it's more genuine like that.
Sure.
Okay, so one thing that I always say usually when I wake up, and that's just something personal that I heard a long time ago, which I really feel like it resonated with me and it still does, is I'm not immortal. I am mortal and I will die one day. And that's just not to scare me or anything like that, but just to know that this is not forever. And at the same time, I need to go hurry up and do stuff because, you know, we're not here forever.
Right.
We really want it. And now with that, after everything said and done, I wish you a long prosperous life. However, after everything said and done, what do you hope the people think about your life or see about your life?
That I was a good man, you know? I try to be a good man, try to be a good person. It's easy, you know, to be ugly, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you just gotta have a genuine heart.
Yeah.
Talk to people. Treat people the way you want to be treated. That's how I want to see people, or that's how I want to be, I guess, known, I guess you could say. He was a good person.
That's dope. I appreciate that very much. The, yeah, man, I've been watching your stuff before. I've seen you before. We started following each other, but I had ran into you at the Dia de los Muertos, but I have known about you, and I thought it was pretty cool the way you highlighted in the community and to let me know that you're one of the only ones that are, like, really capturing what's going on here as far as the lowrider community and the way that you do it, to present it into, even though there's opportunity to do the negative, you're really not focusing on that. You're focusing on the beautiful. I can't wait to get to interviews that you're going to be doing as far as diving more deeper in depth and to be able to share stories that other people can relate and maybe
sure.
be able to inspire people. I like that very much more. And then, of course, the beautiful footage that you've been putting together. And I can't wait to see you grow even further away. And also the fact that I'm pretty sure being on YouTube and reaching a worldwide audience, and I'm pretty sure you can see your algorithm, people from different world, different places in the world. It's global. Yeah. So definitely, Mark Steady, you are a global Latin factor. Thank you very much for being here. Appreciate it very much.
I appreciate you, man. Thank you. Thank you.
This was another episode of the Global Latin Factor podcast. Remember, we are just like you. We are humans. We are the spice in this melting pot that it is the world. Till next time. Paz.
Deuce.
Thank you. Thank you very much for checking out another episode of the Global Latin Factor podcast. Remember to subscribe, hit the bell. It means a lot to us. You don't understand how much you are appreciated whenever you do that. It helps us so much. And we are quickly moving on different platforms of the Latino community so we can bring you a lot more important content about Latinos. And it's all thanks to you. Thank you very much.
Juarez del Abigo, walks like a pedo, but in fact he's a flamingo. Coming to Havana, and from Puerto Rico, on a pirate ship, he don't know where do we go. The birds of the jungle chasing fortune and fame, but Juan is flamingo, is not walking the same. Balaje de la flauta and banana.